Reading with friends. It is an honor to be here with you today and to be with John and Pamela. So, namaste. As some of you may be aware, the states of Florida, Georgia, and North Carolina have been dealing with the aftermath of two horrific hurricanes. The first hurricane shot into North Carolina, creating monumental destruction, particularly for the residents of the Appalachian Mountains. And it also took the lives of hundreds of people. Now, the path of this hurricane was very interesting because it struck Florida, headed northward toward Atlanta, and just before it got to Atlanta, it veered east, circled around, headed up, turned westward again, and plunked down about 10 miles into North Carolina and the town where I live. Now, we have some dear friends in the Atlanta area, some of whom are on Zoom today, who are dedicated to the expression of divine and the radiating of light in their daily affairs. In my opinion, the substance thereby created contributed considerably to the diversion of this hurricane, causing a safe and protective hedge. The people in the town where I live have been calling this an absolute miracle. So what I did is I looked up the exact definition of a miracle, and this is what it said. A surprising and welcome event that is not explicable by natural or scientific laws, and is therefore considered the work of a divine agency. Yes, the work of a divine agency. We work for a divine agency. And in fact, we are a part of the very structure of this divine agency. I have been rereading, along the lines I've just been speaking of, the book Worlds in Collision by Immanuel Velikovsky. And in it, he refers to the time of the Exodus when the children of Israel were in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. As we know, manna dropped from the sky to sustain the people. Well, according to Dr. Velikovsky, it was Venus that sent over the clouds of manna on a daily basis to drop food for the people. Venus. So here is evidence to me of friends, God beings in other divisions, if you will, of the divine agency, who are offering assistance. There is assistance and divisions of the divine agency throughout the solar system, the universe, and beyond. We are here radiating light. And how many times, perhaps, assistance has been offered by other friends that we know not of, mankind knows not of. But as we radiate light, and as we provide the carrier current of love, which casts out fear, then the sickeningly horrific mess of the old heaven and the old earth can continue and do continue to pass away. Many years ago, when I first heard the words, "If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light." And in those days, I took that to mean, well, I just focus in on letting love radiate moment by moment, then my mind and my heart and my body will be full of light. And yes, of course, that is true. But in later years, it came to mean so much more to me. Because it came to mean that standing where I am, I radiate light through my consciousness and through my heart and through my human form on out into my body, filling it with light. And where is my body? Who is my body? You. You and others, the priesthood, radiating light into the priesthood and into the outer court and into the encampment. The light of the sun, S-U-N. The light of the sun, S-O-N. We bathe each other in light. We bless each other in light. We stand unified in the light of the one body here in this division of the divine agency on planet Earth. Ushering in and making available the glory and the beauty of the new heaven and the new earth. And this beauty is evident everywhere if we have but eyes to see. So I greet you, friends. This morning, with love, namaste. I honor the light in each one of you. And so, over to our dear friend, Pamela.
Maureen, namaste to you as well. It's so beautiful to feel your spirit and know who you are as a radiant being and a friend. I think it's such a marvel how those of us in various spiritual groupings have come together in these last few years. And maybe for many, we had met years ago in our spiritual education phase. Like for Maureen and I, we were across the room, across the hall, 50 years ago, taking classes. And then for many years later, this gravitational urge reconnected us to participate in this collective, unified purpose for which we incarnated. And here we are in this vibrant field, playing unique parts in the circuitry of the spiritual body. We've been considering recently our marvelous capacity of consciousness, a gift from our Creator every person is born with. And we know what governs this amazing capacity isn't the earthbound views that conform to inherited or present thinking and feeling, but a beautifully governed mind, like Maureen was articulating, governed by truth, that was designed to operate above the mass consciousness. I recently saw a video filmed with a drone of sheep being expertly herded. And in the video, seen from above, the amazing patterns, intricate patterns that were created by their movement together, reminded me of a video that we've shown here of murmuration of starlings moving as one in the sky. The birds, however, majestically glide naturally with innate intelligence, while the sheep, followed by Roach, the control of the sheepdog, who's controlled by the rancher. And I thought, that's a good metaphor for human consciousness. What governs it? Well, we know it's where one's core passion is given and held. And in the holding of that, we extend a hedge in our world, because manna is given. We are blessed to have the spirit, being open to spirit, and that is the momentary manna that's available for us. These weeks leading up to the presidential election have been like viewing herds of separate systems of rivalry without hearing any real articulation of what true leadership is. The barrage of media and unsolicited political mail, and aren't you tired of the constant text messaging? But it's all designed, no matter what political group you might lean toward or views on different issues. It's all those techniques are designed to manipulate and influence particular outcomes. So if one gets emotionally involved with one belief system or another, it feeds right into that. And it's not just politics, it's any belief system. Another technique of, I would call it planting seeds of untruths, is planting seeds like something that isn't true at all, but it feeds into the mind. Like everything is discordant. Everything is divided. Systems are divided. People are divided. Country is divided. As though it's like speaking for everyone. This is the way it is. This is what people are thinking. And of course, the media controls this. Recently, I met a beautiful Iranian woman in my neighborhood. We had tea and connected instantly on a spiritual level. And she said, "Everything you're saying is exactly what I've been looking for." And I had opportunity for various things when I was in Iran to get involved with different groups of thinking. But I knew it wasn't what I was looking for. And sitting down with you, this is exactly what I was seeking to find. And we started to talk about what was going on in the Middle East. And she said that, again, media is having control of people's minds and they're not getting the truth of what's going on. She said, "Iranian people love Palestinians. We love Israelis. We love Arabs. We love the Middle East. We love people of the world." So, I mean, I think that speaks to really the spiritual movement that's in place on Earth today. It has nothing to do with the media propaganda, let's say. But people are awakening. People are thinking for themselves and letting their consciousness, this beautiful consciousness, be given to what is higher. And what a gift it is to know that our consciousness can't be herded into any belief system, political, religious, educational, whatever else. But expressing the spirit of love and compassion in everyday lives, utilizing the mana, our spiritual expression, there are no sides. Love rules. There's no need to correct or herd. Our God-given divine intelligence is perceived when our mind is still enough and open to it. And in that clear space, perceptions become sharper and I found more frequent. And saying things like, "Wow, isn't that a coincidence? That's happening. Oh, I was just thinking of that. And here it is." Or with this woman that I just met, she was saying, That's exactly what I was looking for. And then she corrected herself. She said, "It's not a coincidence, is it? It was meant to be." It becomes natural rather than unusual. There's some words that I always think of, actually. It sounds simple and yet it is profound. They're from Philippians. Whatever things are true, whatever things are just, whatever things are honest, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Here is spiritual expression in action. Here is what our capacities are designed for. In this clear space above opinionated of views, in the field of unadulterated thinking, we can view the world in divine eyes. And it's where we meet, and it's why we meet. And in that space of consciousness, there's an open window to heaven. And what is loosed in our consciousness that we're responsible for, no one can say, your consciousness needs to be clarified. What's loosed in our consciousness that we're of control can be loosed in the earth. And in these days, the earth needs us. The clear window of heaven releases to connect with the earth and bathe the earth in true leadership of our Creator. Our spirit of love guides us. So those are some of the thoughts that I've had. And John?
While you were speaking, I wrote down, "Let not your heart be troubled. Let not your mind be hurted." Seems like good advice. Humanly speaking, we are born with seeds of Eden in our very flesh. A whole universe of atoms comes and goes in our body compositions all the time. And every particle is offered the opportunity and has the potential of spiritualization. Some of us refer to this vibratory ascension process as the generation of the spiritual substance we call pneumoplasm. This generation occurs because I am present in my body. I am the God of it, and it is responsive to me. This statement's just theory, of course, unless declared by the one who knows that I am a creator being incarnate in human form. Maureen briefly mentioned the biblical account of the great exodus of the Israelites from Egyptian captivity, a mass movement toward a promised land. My personal promised land is the body that I animate and in which I dwell. It is my home for the time being. I am the promise of my body. Not surprisingly, the root of the word respond means to promise in return. I think of the collective body of humanity, all of us, as a mountaintop residence of the God of the whole world and beyond. A minute portion of the billions composing this composite body actually experiences and knows our divine identity. But innumerably more people are essentially responsive to this holy presence. Beyond humanity are the kingdoms of the natural world, mineral, plant, animal, and they are fully responsive. They've just been waiting for the crowning creation to be operational. They're ready to accept and be lifted into a whole new design. You may know that the word Exodus is of a Greek root meaning the road out, the way out. In Old Testament times, the way out was both physical, a multitude of Israelites moving out of bondage in Egypt under the leadership of Moses, and horizontal, traversing many miles across the land from one place toward another. What is the way out today? We know the way. In the biblical story, the Israelites could have moved right on into a new state of experience, represented by the promised land, but they didn't. Doubts and fears of various sorts led them to halt and hesitate. And so they remained in a wilderness condition until a new generation arose. Some of us physical oldies on this video conference today know how what we call the emissary organization changed dramatically after Martin Exeter died. Maybe some of us then spent a few decades doubting, or maybe it wasn't time yet, or we perhaps felt hesitant or insufficiently capable, whatever. But quite a few of us wandered off for a bit. In God time, where 1,000 years is as one day, it's only been a couple of weeks. If we never left, we're here. If we did, we're back. In a recent conversation I had with a longtime friend who describes himself as a devout Methodist, he stated that he's headed for heaven after he dies because he believes that Jesus Christ is Lord. I replied that for me, it's applied experiential Christianity, not based in religious beliefs, that brings heaven on earth here and now. I doubt he had the substance to really hear me, but maybe some of the tone got through. as has been said, we have storms of all sorts on Earth. Cyclones and hurricanes and tornadoes, volcanic eruptions, earthquakes, excessive heat, cold, rain. We note that all these occurrences are either on or relatively near the surface of the Earth's crust, both below and above this thin layer. What is going on is very much different. But humans tend to be pretty oblivious to anything but the planets and their own thin skins. Looking it up online, I found a list of 110 armed conflicts going on in the world right now. Of course, the largest and newest are reported the most. Smaller and older wars get less news coverage. Likewise with weather and geologic news. The more human beings are affected, the larger the story. Blizzards in Antarctica don't make the evening news. And petty tiffs between family members or neighbors seldom do either. At a local level, how about the increase in aggressive driving? I've been noticing this as I get around. How about you? Local police and highway patrol officers say road rage is more prevalent than ever. Frustration and anger can boil out of control in seconds and sometimes lead to violence. This emotional turmoil is war at an individual level. And in the coming few days, we may well see a similar human phenomenon around the United States and beyond. Election rage. But back to the time of the biblical Exodus, the children of Israel discovered manna, as Maureen mentioned. It sustained them through their wandering years. The word has come to mean an unexpected gift. The Israelites call this hydrocarbon substance, which condensed like dew in the cool of the mornings, manna, which in Hebrew literally means, what is it? What is the manna of these current times? Rather than a physical comestible, it is spiritual sustenance. We know it, we know its presence when our personal pneumoplasmic generation matches the quality of residual fine substance that is omnipresent by reason of past generations on Earth and the vast, ever-present cosmic clarity all around. We may recognize that there are both integrative and disintegrative phases to the one creative process at work. To human eyes, so much is not apparent because so much disintegration seems to be right in our faces. But the new that is coming is, I sense, vastly greater than the old that is passing. Through the collective form, manifesting the presence of creator being identity, what is capable of being raised up is raised up, and what is not capable of being raised up dissolves. There is an irresistible compulsion to this. Just lately, many of us are sensing an acceleration in the pace of things and in lifting or rising into a new realm of radiance. The new heaven is present, and the earth rushes to give it new form. The purpose we've come to fulfill is being fulfilled right now. It's not a someday in the future occurrence. Those of us on this call today and our friends and associates do not have a monopoly on this understanding, of course. It's said that a rising metaphoric tide floats all boats, and the tide is quickly rising, I see. Every boat that can float is rising. Boats that aren't seaworthy sink. As I said, this isn't a someday in the future occurrence. Being still and knowing the personal and collective creator presence, we are certain this is so and are exceedingly glad. That well-known verse from Philippians that Pamela recited is an excellent reminder to all people who would add their living generation to the cause of recreation. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. As we let not our hearts be troubled, we remain in position to let happen what is happening in our own experience and for others. I invite those of you who might like to add comments to our consideration here, please do.
Hey, John, David here, Pamela, Maureen. Just want to express my delight at the clarity and the simplicity of the radiant message that has been delivered by reason of our being together here today with you three providing the spoken word primarily. through which our unified radiation extends consciously and subconsciously into the open heart of humanity. In your words, all three of you have been so inclusive of all that is taking place in this cycle of regeneration, which includes everything in this outer world. And Maureen, thank you for your simplicity and beauty of your opening, where you touched on the lovely essences that were expanded so creatively by John and Pamela. It has been a joy to be with you and be together here this morning. Thank you.
Thank you, David.
I so appreciated Maureen's phrase, bless each other in light. Not with light, like a paintbrush, in the light. The light is a place where everything is true and just and honest and lovely and of good report and of praise and virtue. That's light. There is no darkness where this light. And I let my consciousness, my capacities be filled with light, with every opportunity, every conscious opportunity I have, because there is the power of life. The light is the life of men and women. Let there be light. And I find the phrase, in the world but not of it. That's, for me, not exactly a place set apart. It's a place that is, the world is of me. The world is imbued with me, with a capital M. If that radiance of light through me is out there, I'm not of it, it is of me. Let the earth and heaven be one in me and you, because we know this. We get it done while we're still here. While we're still here. That's why I'm still here. I have the choice not to be here. Do you want to be here or not? Well, I have soul substance yet to ascend. So I'm here still, as are you. And we came, and these children coming now, they come bravely in this time here. Oh my goodness. Thank you for being here. Let there be light in me and you and them. Let there be light.
Thank you, Pendel, for being here.
John, in the immortal words of our friends, all is well now. All is well now. Be here now. I find myself hearing those words in my mind throughout the day. And with hurricanes going every which way and tornadoes, by the way, it can seem scary for a lot of people. But when we hold steady in this tumultuous era that we seem to find ourselves in, it's all right. R-I-G-H-T, it's all right. Nothing's wrong. So thank you again.
Thank you, Carla.
I too want to give deep thanks for what you all expressed. I appreciate so much that you dealt directly with the conditions that we're facing on Earth right now. And you brought to that the higher perspective. This to me is true leadership. And the words become much more than just platitudes when we actually directly face what it is that is happening, but bring a true, clear perspective to it. And I certainly felt that you all three did. Praise God.
Thanks, Marcia.
John, the world ever needed manna. They need it. We need it now. And as I was listening to you and Lady P and all the other wonderful people on the line, it just became blatantly obvious to me. Could there be ever a better description of us? We are the manna, as the world is now. We have an opportunity to possibly at least play a significant part in saving it. Praise the Lord for the knowledge, the understanding, the willingness to be a part of this and to come forth as conscious angels to be that point of higher focus for those who will wake up. They all won't. But let us be here for the ones who will.
Thanks, Jim.
Thank you, Jim. You literally took the words out of my mouth. We are the manna. Manna. What comes to me is, in my father's house, there are many mansions. There's room for everybody. And nobody, no human body, has to decide who should be and who shouldn't be here or there. The second part of that verse is, if it were not so, I would have told you. There has always been such strength and safety in that statement. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I think of the words I speak and the manna they provide. They are a reflection of my living. Everyone's are. And the depth of strength and surety is what the world needs. There is no question. If it were not so, I would have told you. How blessed to live with that strength and purpose. Thank you all so much.
Thank you, Laura.
If it were not so, we would have noticed. Because we do know who we are. I have come to think of our gatherings like this, and thank you for Zoom, as group attunements. What Roger called many years ago, radiant gatherings. I mean, come on, is this not a radiant gathering? Well, of course it is. I'm thinking of the last line of one of Martin's poems that I believe he introduced at an Easter sunrise service. It says something like, let go of all human belief systems, let all human structures and consciousness be dissolved, let it all go, so that what remains is God revealed in man restored. This has been a lovely consideration. Thank you, Maureen. Thank you, Pamela. Thank you, John.
Suzanne, I don't think I've ever heard that more beautifully put.
John and everyone, the thing I most love this morning about our time together, and you said it, John, no exclusivity. It's very powerful when I speak for myself when I come to that point of there's nothing exclusive in me about what I'm about. Because we see how the world has become so tribal and divided and lost in that sense. I just love to feel this substance of something so new and so powerful that we bring together. Thanks so much.
Well, thank you, Alan, and everyone who has spoken. Perhaps Maureen and Pamela, you'd have a parting thought to share.
Well, I think my one parting thought would be that, boy, namaste, 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 namaste. I could go behind with each one. I'm honoring the light in each one of you, not a bunch of dim bulbs that just kind of flicker on and off. Oh, no. The light's turned on. And thank you. Thank you, each one. True, what? Forever light bulbs. So namaste, honoring the light.
Yeah, Maureen, I join you in that. And that's exactly what my thoughts were in hearing everyone, but seeing everyone, looking at everyone, looking at the light in your eye, looking at the glow, the power of presence is attractive and it's unifying. And I would particularly thank those who have spoken and represented such a unified field of one spirit together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, indeed, it is one spirit emerging through one heaven and taking form in a new way, in a collective that we are part of a tiny representation of, but important. We are here to be so large that all the world is within us. It's included, no part left out. Parts can leave themselves out, but no parts left out in my heart, in our heart, in the Lord's great heart. Welcome all. Sanford, thank you for this opening music, and no doubt you have a little more to take us out.
Thanks so much.